The strategies and concepts discussed are for educational purposes only and do not represent specific investment tax or estate planning advice. Investing carries an inherent element of risk, and it is possible to lose principal and interest when investing in securities. No strategy can guarantee a profit or prevent against a loss. The views expressed represent the personal opinions of the presenter or the featured guests, not necessarily those of USA Financial or its affiliated subsidiaries. Any opinions or forecasting statements are subject to change at any time and without notice. John Scindia is an investment advisor representative of, and advisory services are offered through USA Financial Securities, member FINRA SIPC, a registered investment advisor. Life Stages Advisory, Dean and Remington are not affiliated with USA Financial Securities. Welcome to the 36th episode of WTF, Wealth, Tax, and Finances. I'm your host, John Scindia, certified public accountant, personal financial specialist. I've got Remington in here with me.
Hello.
And behind the camera, Dean's here too.
Welcome.
Welcome. This is our official podcast.
Ooh.
So today we want to talk a little bit about what's been happening in the economy. What opportunities do we have from an investing standpoint? And are there opportunities out there in the job market? What is actually going on? Because a lot of this is due to COVID, but now we have like a perfect storm of natural disasters happening. California has wildfires. We've got some hurricanes kicking up lately down in the Gulf. We're still early into the hurricane season. And it's like, you know, you start thinking about the restaurants that have closed up. The other ones that are still going through, and they might have drive-through or carry-out, trying to transition and make something happen. Different industries, and I'm counting my blessings so far because, you know, we have a tax practice and we offer the investments and retirement planning, and we haven't really seen a downfall or a shortage of that. People are actually still needing that. They're looking at it from a perspective of, do I have to change anything currently? Are we reallocating any assets? Are we getting out of the market? Are we staying in the market? We're trying to answer all of those. But at the same time, it's like the unfortunate people who have gotten laid off, lost a job. What has been your experience at this level, being from a millennial perspective, and both of you, looking at it from how it's either impacted you, your family, personally, or friends? Has it been positive, negative? How are you looking at it at this point?
I mean, well, with everything that's been going on, I haven't seen too much of a shift with like my family. I mean, we still see them, maybe not as frequently and not out in large groups, obviously, with what's going on. But work-wise, just working with like logistics and everything, I've seen it's been kind of both sides, where some of like the larger companies that still need to ship their products out, they've adjusted and they've adapted to the new environment that's been created, and they've overcome a lot of issues. They're still shipping stuff out, maybe not as frequently. And then on the other side too, we've got the smaller companies that maybe don't have all the resources to completely change how they operate, that are shutting down for a week, a month, indefinitely, just to try and figure out how to come back and not go under, essentially. But it's been a little all over the place in that sense.
Dean, how about you? Have you had anything that's impacted either you personally, your family, or some colleagues at work or anything?
So we were working in office. I think this is the case for a lot of people. Working in an office, never worked remote before, and then all of a sudden, bam, you're working remote.
Oh, I had that happen.
Yeah, so I think that's how a lot of offices were. They're like, yeah, we can't do this. We can't do the remote, and then it's not a choice. You're going to work remote. So my company specifically has done a very good job at maintaining relationships and making things still feel like they're the same as staying in an office, but in the same sense, you know, still being able to work remote and stuff, it's been nice. So in terms of family, my dad works in a warehouse. He just had to wear all the PPE. They've had to take temperatures, do all of that stuff. So that's a bit of a change of pace for a lot of people, especially, you know, it kind of becomes like a sense of your privacy being, you know, took from you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not exactly the most fun, but, my mom is a preschool teacher, you know, school's closed, you know, in March, early April, the latest. She ended up being able to file for unemployment, got what I was calling COVID cash.
Okay.
COVID 600 cash. Extra.
Yeah. You know, she got that. Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's an extremely big help. And, you know, I know there's a lot of people who, you know, could have very much well used that money and took advantage of it. So, but she's going back, they're going to start preschool, you know, I think, hell, they might be this week. Yeah. I think it's this week as they're going back. So, it seems to be that things are kind of going back to what they were,
like some semblance of normal.
Yeah. But you know, at the same point, I think there's a lot more political things going on that are kind of taking over the coronavirus realm. So, I mean, I still look at like statistics and stuff every week. We still seem to be kind of, you know, stagnant, the same amount of deaths, the same amount of cases. So things not really going away.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's incredibly smart that we should just, you know, open everything back up and and start with it again. But yeah, I think in terms of like personal stuff, those are the things that have hit the best for me.
Yeah. I think we've been fortunate in our area here in Northeast Ohio that while I don't see much either with the clients that we've had, we got a lot of business, different types of manufacturing. We haven't seen anything there. We've got contractors. If the contractors are competent contractors, they've got more than enough business and they know what to do with, because the people that you see Home Depots, you see Lowe's, you see Menards, you can't get 2x4s to build anything. So either the contractors have them or the individuals are doing their own thing. So they're sprucing up their houses or doing all kinds of things. So these contractors and anything from a home improvement standpoint, have been going, you know, gangbusters.
Yeah, it's how a lot of the companies, not to name anything specifically, but with my line of work, a lot of them have seen actually an increase because some of the products they're selling, they kind of suit people that are staying home more often. So they're shipping more and more of that out and they're seeing 20-30% increase than they were expecting. So it's interesting how they're targeting certain avenues now.
Yeah, it's... like I say, the unfortunate part is the restaurants seem to have gotten hit the hardest.
Oh, yeah.
The hotels, any of the entertainment venues.
Movie theaters specifically.
Yeah, movie theaters. I've heard a lot of the concerts, people aren't getting reimbursed from concert tickets.
Oh.
They're postponing them until the following year. They don't even know when that's going to happen. So there are certain sectors of the economy that have just gotten trashed. And other ones are doing fairly well, and some of them are doing great guns. So the other thing that we try to look at from an insightful standpoint is real estate, too. And going with what Dean was saying earlier, having the people and the companies working in an office environment, now they're working at home. Well, they're saving a lot of money. The individuals are saving money because they don't have to commute. So you have to see what... you know, what is that going to impact? Now they're not spending as much on gas to get there because a lot of people will, even in our area, half hour, 40, 45 minutes is nothing. I had always figured as long as I commuted an hour or less, I was okay. But then you've got on the West Coast, you know, normal commutes are an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours just one way. So if you don't have that and you can afford to work out of the house, they've got to be saving a ton of money just from commuting expenses. So, you know, there's certain things like that. The long-term effect of commercial real estate is another thing that we're looking at. And we've been having clients taking a little bit of position off of that and reducing that exposure in those different environments on the real estate trust and things. Just because we just want to make sure they're not overly exposed to that, because I think there's going to be some long-term issues with a lot of that, because most of these companies have stated that they're either going to keep a certain percentage of people
you know, working at home. So how many are going to be brought back? Dean, in your case, are you going to go back or not?
So I know I was talking to my uncle yesterday. He works for a bigger tech company. He's worked remote the entire time he's worked there, almost 5 years now. And they have offices in Canada. They're based out of Canada. And he was talking about how basically between him and my company, it seems that the hybrid model would be an interest to a lot of companies. And
meaning sometime a little bit of work at home, yeah, some back in the office.
Yeah, some back in the office. And really what it more sounds like is like you have an option. Mm. So if you want to come back to the office, sure. If you want to drive 2 hours mm-hmm. every day for your commute, go for it.
Mm-hmm.
If not, you can still work from home. But I think it's going to just depend on how much money these companies are shelling out for office space. And it might get to the point where like you're coming back, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like it's not an option. And it, you know, that kind of sucks because I think people have gotten used to like kind of having, you know, the ability to save money on, you know, not having to spend so much money on gas or, you know, maintaining their car to drive 3 hours every single day for work.
Mm-hmm.
So they've gotten used to that. So I don't know, maybe in the future, you know, I'm talking 5-10 years from now, you could see the corporate and all that structure just completely change
mm-hmm.
and possibly, you know, be less salaries because people are working from home
mm-hmm.
and they're not having to pay for an office space. So,
well, and I'd heard something earlier this week too, that I didn't particularly think about because I've been self-employed most of my life. I've had a couple of corporate jobs when I first started out, but, for those of the people that have to work either in some type of corporate environment or whatever, I never thought of, but it was brought up, I thought about it this last week, was you're not being noticed by your manager or your supervisor or the upper echelon.
Sure, yeah.
And it's like, so they don't really know, are you putting in 5 minutes of work? Are you doing something exceptional that would be noticed at work that is going unnoticed at home? You know, what is the promotion path at this point? Everybody's working remotely, it's like, you know, you're out of sight, out of mind as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
Like, you know, if I don't talk to you on a Zoom cast or something on a Zoom meeting,
you don't exist.
Yeah, you're not there because, you know, you used to sit over there and now I don't see you, you know, unless I talk to you over the phone or a Zoom meeting.
Well, our company, that's kind of where we fell into was it's a fast-paced environment and it's kind of hard to make sure everyone's doing what they're doing, staying on top of things that they need to be when you've got an office of like 60 people all working remotely from home and it's broken up into individual teams. So it's kind of hard to have everyone be monitored and everyone checking where it's supposed to be. So we tried the working remote option and they still offer that, but it's only if you absolutely need it, like you've got family members that could be compromised or if you've gone and had like a COVID test
mm-hmm.
then they kind of require that you work from home for a while, but they're kind of having everyone come back in, spacing everyone out and social distancing in the office, but mm-hmm. they've kind of fallen into the we need people in the office so we can like keep eyes on them.
Yeah.
Well, John, I also think the on the opposite end of the spectrum, I'm a big fan of if it takes 20 minutes, it takes 20 minutes. If it takes 8 hours, it takes 8 hours. So what I mean by that is basically the 40-hour work week, I think, is a pile. I think it's mm-hmm. I hate it. Mm-hmm. I hate it. I love being able to still maintain my life and do things that I'm interested in.
Oh yeah.
And not have to fit into that 40-hour work week realm.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, being able to work from home, you can stretch that a little bit. I don't keep track of my hours when I work from home.
Yeah.
But I do know that when I go into the office, I'm there from 9 to 5.
Yeah.
So I know that my lifestyle is work based mm-hmm. from 9 to 5. When I'm at home, not so much. So I think what you see with a lot of people is that they just find things to do
mm-hmm.
in that 9 to 5. But when you work from home, you get the work done and then it's just, you live your life.
Yeah.
You do whatever you need to do.
Yeah.
And now obviously, you know, that doesn't work for every position. You know, there's some positions that it takes more than 40 hours. There are some weeks where I definitely do work more than 9 to 5.
Yeah.
But there are some weeks where I have some free time. And it's very, very nice to be able to have that free time and still complete my work and my job at a high capacity.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably how a lot of people feel. Don't have management breathing down your neck. You don't have supervisors breathing down your neck. You have a little bit of freedom and it makes you work better.
Yeah.
So,
well, in my situation, since I've been self-employed over 30 years, I've had the pleasure of working about anywhere from 60 to 400 hours a week. But over the last 5 years, I've said, hey, you know, I want to start taking advantage of some of this stuff. And it's the same thing. I can go in for 2 hours. It's about a 45-minute commute from my house to the office. And sometimes I'll come in and I work 2 hours and then I'm done. You know, I've got Sherry and Tama and my wife's in here during tax season. But Sherry will work usually from about 7:30, 8 o'clock till 2 or 3. And then Tama comes in around noon, stays till 5. So we've got everything covered. And it's, you know, they make their schedules and stuff. They know what has to be done. They get the work done. And if it's less than that, they got something else to do and they can go home. They just go home. You know, they're on hourly, pay them a nice hourly wage. And we get bonuses after tax season bonus, a Christmas bonus and stuff. And it's, you know, if we get bombed, then with a bunch of tax returns, everybody stays and does it until they get done, you know. And I'm usually in checking mail on a Saturday or something, yeah. You know, and putzing around and all that. But it's what I'm used to, you know. And if originally when we first started, I mean, Sherry and I started the second time into the practice. We were in literally 90 to 100 hours the first 6-8 months because we had so much going on, merging the two practices and stuff. And then a third one came in not so quickly after that. And it just took a while and it took a lot of time in that. And it's like, that's somewhere we don't want to be. So I figured, you know, I'm taking off at noon, 1 o'clock. That's after tax season. We'll have a few stragglers in that we'll still get some between now and October 15th. We'll get the tax returns done. And in the meantime, we're doing other investment work and things like that, meeting with clients out. We've probably had half a dozen meetings with clients in, sitting at the conference table we're at right now, keeping, you know, 6 foot distance. We've got masks on. It's up to the clients, you know, if they want to come in or if they just want to drop stuff off, how they want to deal it, we leave it up to them. And, you know, we've been, you know, doing as much protection protocol as the next person. So, you know, and I think it just comes down to common sense. You know, you just have to protect yourself. If you have some type of a immunity or an immune system, compromised immune system or something else that's out there, you know, you just need to be really careful. So
oh, yeah.
Those are the clients, you know, we really take precautions with.
Please just call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Call us later. Yeah. But so, you know, I think there's a lot of different things that, you know, we all have to do. And we're all working on a different way to get through this stuff. And I think everybody's situation is different. Like I say, it's unfortunate with the people that are unemployed, but I think we've been, you know, pretty blessed in this area that I'm not aware that we've had massive layoffs with any of the larger companies and things that we have in this area.
Right.
You know, so, you know, I think in other parts of the country, especially there now in the southern area where they're getting the hurricanes and everything, and then the fires out west, and then, you know, you've got some of the disruptions on these protests and stuff. You know, that's another unfortunate part is the small businesses that are being affected that are still in business that are being affected by the protests and stuff. And now all of a sudden, maybe they don't have a business anymore or whatever. You know, there's so many different things happening at this time that it's a little chaotic. And I'm just telling clients to reassess what they've done as far as their portfolios. We're almost back to all-time highs. I mean, we're in the Dow's not there yet, but the S&P and the NASDAQ have hit new highs. And, you know, how much longer can we do this? It's been almost 12 years now that the market's gone, you know, pretty much straight up. And it's sort of hard for me to see because, like I said before, the contractors, most of them are having trouble getting product. So if they're not busy, it's because they can't get access to do their job. And other ones are saying, well, if it's normally they get it in 4 to 6 weeks, now it's taken 6 to 12. And some of them are like 18 weeks out. So they're doing stuff now that could end up taking them into the first of the year before they end up getting any, you know, any jobs done.
Oh, yeah.
So you know, there's just so many different things. And like I say, it's an unfortunate part of it. But I think it's also a good time. Previous episode, we talked about doing tax planning. I think it's a good thing to sit there and reassess at this point where we are in the stock market. Where are we in your retirement planning side? Do we need to reallocate? Do we need to reassess? Do we need to start to review certain plans and certain things like that? And, you know, if you do, just, you know, send an email here at jcindy@lifestagesadvisory.com. We'll get back to you, see how we can help. Love us, like us, do all that other stuff. Do you guys have anything else to say here?
Side note for anyone who's interested in nature.
Uh-oh.
I like to, you know, I'm sorry. This is like completely off topic, but I like to travel.
Okay.
You guys like to travel. You're full of it if you say you don't.
No, I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, the California fires, you know, it's that season for, you know, the out west and everything for things to get dry and things to get hot.
Mm-hmm.
The redwoods, in the national forest, which is, I think, south of San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
two things. One of my buddies, his uncle lives out in San Francisco. They were saying that there was like over an inch of ash covering the entire city.
Jeez.
From those redwoods that were burned.
Oh, wow.
Second thing, none of the redwoods died. None of them. They've seen pictures of them. The way some of the redwoods grow, they have like 3 or 4 different massive roots that come up into the tree itself.
Uh-huh.
And there's a hole in between.
Okay.
You can walk between. And these trees are huge. They're, you know, several hundred feet tall. And the bases of them are really high. Rem, I see you like...
No, like this is interesting.
It's very interesting. This has nothing to do with finance. This is just stuff I find cool. There's pictures of like the entire inside of the tree on fire, but none of the trees died. None of them.
Is it because of the bark is so?
I don't know.
Is it flame resistant?
I don't know.
Have to do some research,
right? Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's some more research behind that, but maybe it's something to do with how dense the trees are, or how, you know, maybe the inside bark is wet or something and it can't burn. I don't know, but I just like my buddy was telling me about it. I'm like, all those trees are gonna burn down. Like, that's awful. Like, I hate that. And you know there's not a whole lot you can do about wildfires in terms of not burning down things, but you know, I think it's really cool that nature is so resilient to things like that.
Now, is that just the redwoods or is that sequoias too? Or
I don't know. I know one of them is tall, the tallest tree, and one of them is the densest tree.
Oh, okay.
I don't know which one it is, though. Not sure.
Well, for everybody that stayed for that tidbit, we will be doing some research on
that. Oh, yeah. See, I was just going to plug the show. We're still working on getting some t-shirts made, but now I feel like I need a cool like nature fact. I'll get one for next episode.
Well, we'll update everybody who stuck around for this episode toward the end. Thank you. We'll get you that answer about the sequoias and the redwoods and see who's dense and see who's tall. And
it should be Dean, right?
Dean. He's tall and dense. Yes. It's,
hey, now.
No. Well, until next episode, all right, you're seeing how we get along here. So anyway, thanks a lot. And like us, love us, do whatever you can. And let's increase the listening audience. Thank you very much.